Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We've got nearly a full house tonight, but it is the second episode of the new season of the Premier Non-League Podcast.
The Premier Non-League Podcast.
Chris, you've decided to stop playing cricket and actually come to watch a proper game of sport. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
You've been up.
I don't play, I have to ferry children about. Get children warm. And it's just one of the, it's a sport where it's a longer game than football, so it goes on a bit. Yeah. So it's good to be back.
But it's you haven't exactly had the weather that cricket normally brings with it, because it's been an awful summer of weather. I don't know what it's been up north, but down south it definitely been.
It's been fits and starts, really. We've had some good spells and some difficult spells. On the whole, not too bad, but there have been some games which aren't going to get played. It's just one of those things. It's the Great British Summer. I'd rather have that than what we had last summer, which was a completely truncated season, which was a waste of time. So nice to get some sort of normality, and therefore nice to be back here to talk about football.
That's nice. It's good, isn't it? And I'm sure you're happy to be back, because from what I understand is South Shields are kind of bossing the league at the moment.
Well, yes and no. Yes, top of the league on goals scored, but it's already apparent that it's going to be same as usual. Teams beating each other. It's a case of who holds their nerve and doesn't drop as many points as the other. So it's fine at the moment. We dropped points against FC United. We got a point out of that game, but it was a game where you think, well, FC are going to be right up there. And then they go and get beat in the next game. It's wacky. It's a mental league. It's proven to be exactly the same. So we're happy to be top. No doubt about that.
Yeah, I wish we could say the same, but we'll touch on Worthing a little bit later. but for the first time, obviously, Johnny, even though he still sits there from his American mansion slagging off Worthing on Facebook about losing, he's off busy watching some major league rubbish somewhere. But we've got his replacement finally. Due to technical issues last time, Gareth Spinks is joining us now for the Premier Non-League podcast. Gareth, how are you doing, mate? Good to finally have you with us.
Yeah, it's good to be here. It's taken some time, stealing some Wi-Fi, but we're getting there. So good to be back.
It's good to hear. I know before, obviously, Trevor joined us, before I met Trevor with Pete, and before this all got off, I know you were talking about doing some sort of non-league podcast with Trevor all those years ago. It feels like a lifetime ago, probably a couple of seasons ago. But you're finally on one, and hopefully you can help us build it to even higher climbs. But just tell us a little bit about yourself for, obviously, the listeners that don't know you.
Yeah, so I live down in Worthing. Well, just outside Worthing now, but from Worthing, live in Worthing. Started watching the real grassroots of non-league when I was 5 years old. Go with my dad, watching him play football. Grew up with the smells of deep heat in the changing room and orange quarters at halftime. My dad, I went with him every Saturday. After I got a bit older, my dad started coaching. Got a bit older, started the coaching. Went and helped him with a little bit of that. Not a great footballer myself, but was okay enough to help some, like, help 6, 7, 8, 9-year-olds progress a little bit. And then I got into sort of my teenage years, and my first Worthing game, I think, was 2002, 2003. You had the likes of, like, Sam Francis, Ben Carrington, like, some proper old school Worthing legends were playing the side. Yeah, that's it, really. I mean, and then I met Trevor in 2012, and we travelled the length and breadth of the South Coast, and He goes on a few other ones a bit further away that I can't commit to, but Dover on a Tuesday night was a pretty daunting one. I had to get back for work at 7 o'clock the next morning. But yeah, travel all around, watch Worthing, watch a lot of sort of like county league in Sussex, try and get over to the Wessex if we can. So yeah, that's it, really. That's me.
So Gareth, we've heard a bit about you. We know, I know you before I met you from Trevor's last season football car selfies, which he hasn't done this season, which I'm disappointed. I think he needs to start some sort of new kind of selfie. He used to be in the front seat of his car with whoever's in his passenger seat. What could we think could be a new selfie for Trevor on a match day? Something
burger
random.
Selfie.
Burger selfie, yeah.
Burger selfie.
What about burger selfie, Trevor?
Yeah, but I don't always have a burger everywhere I go.
Oh, food selfie.
Food selfie.
I said, a cup of tea, like, normally you have a burger.
I'll start having a pint selfie.
Pete, that would be every day of the week for you then, wouldn't it? There he goes. Cheers. So yeah, it's great to have you on board, mate. And obviously add to the debate and discussion of the PNLP this season. So chaps, obviously we've touched on Chris's great start to season. Before we go into our own teams, when Trevor, was it before the last podcast we went to see the Arundel match, or was that after? Can't remember.
It must have been either just before or just after, yeah. Wasn't it? I think.
Well, if we haven't, we'll touch on it again, and if not, you can fast forward it. But we can. We went to Arundel's ground, a nice little ground down there, which Trevor explained to me gets flooded pretty much every winter because it's right next to the riverbank, so they can't raise funds to stop that pitch flooding. But a nice little game, but a poor team, and you know, you really, even going from the steps that we're used to going down to that level at County League, you can see the difference. But then yesterday, Arundel turned around and beat 5-0 a local rival. So this season, all things can change, Trev.
Yeah, a bit of a surprise that result, wasn't it? But they looking at their team sheet yesterday, they got three or four different players from when we watched them on that opening day. But they've got a very, very young team. Apparently, from someone I know that was at the game yesterday, they came up against a very young Storrington team. So obviously that extra bit of experience they got, and getting goals in front, you know, put them well on the way, and first 3 points of the season for them.
Yeah, no, it sounded like good for them. I guess we should touch on Worthing then. It's not a Worthing podcast, but obviously we are Worthing fans, four of us here, really. A disappointing way to come on this podcast after losing 2-0 to our local rivals yesterday, Bognor Regis. It does sound bitter. Johnny will probably listen and say it's just me being like still a loser. But I think Trevor and Pete can honestly say that Bognor did not deserve that 2-goal win. That was flattering for them. We just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net.
I'm not talking about it.
That's how annoyed he is. Mr. Trevor, there we go. What do you think? I know you were texting me throughout when I was on the commentary. But
yeah, that was very much against the run of play. I mean, you know, not being funny, when you look back through Worthing's Twitter of the whole game, there's probably enough chances there to win the next three comfortably. And it was just one of those days, and I've seen it a couple of times at Woodside, where it just hasn't happened. And then the following week, it's almost like normal services is resumed. But I've done my blog. I haven't put it up yet. You know, and it is chance after chance after chance. And, you know, Bognor set up to defend, play on the counter, which they didn't do in the first half. And that's something I don't agree with. You're there to win a game. Don't go to, you know, try and nullify the opposition, beat them by playing the game. And that goal was, the first goal was very much against the run of play. But I think that when you look at it from where I was standing right behind the Worthing dugout throughout, and you could see sort of the shell shockness on the players' faces. And then, you know, I don't think they were expecting that, because obviously they were creating chances, and you think, right, one's going to end up in the onion bag in a minute. And then to concede another one 5 minutes after, you could see that knock the stuffing out of them. Although there was still chance after chance after chance for Worthing after that, you know. What I will give Bognor credit for is they stopped the wing play for Worthing. Jasper didn't get any space to run into, Jasper Pattenden. And although Dean Cox sent quite a few crosses into the box, he wasn't anywhere near as effective as I've seen in pre-season and, you know, in games so far. So fair play to Bognor for that bit.
I have to say their goalkeeper was excellent as well. If it wasn't for their goalkeeper, he's a big unit. And if it hadn't been for him, I think we would have won that game.
Yeah, quite agree. But, you know, it's one game out of 42, I think, in a season.
Yeah, we've got 38 left or something.
Yeah, there's another one next week, or it's FA Cup, but then, you know, you're back into league action the week after, so you ain't got time to sit and mope and dwell on it. You move on to the next one.
It's just hard to take, is it? Because we've been looking forward to that for 18 months, 19 months, that derby. And, you know, the last two ones, we won 3-0 convincingly. And, you know, as quite a few people said in, like, Worthing chat groups, you do think that we could play like that again another weekend and win 4-5-0. It just didn't want to happen for us yesterday. But we move on. The season's been an okay-ish start. We've had two losses, two wins. Is that right, Pete? Yeah, two losses, two wins. So we got 6 points out of a possible 12. It's not an awful start. A long way to go. Our first game of the season against Folkestone away was a very mediocre affair after a very good pre-season. But it seemed to pick up the following week with a good convincing 4-1 win. And then a good against league rivals, Cray, really, on Saturday. Cray Wanderers, and then the Bognor game. I mean, I really, if Bognor play like that against some other teams in this league, I really don't think they'll be doing much this season. But then again, if we don't, I don't think we'll be doing much, Trev.
Can I just chuck in here? It's got nothing to do with what we've just been talking about, but I'm just following Twitter as it goes through, because there's a National League game and a couple of County League games tonight. The in the Southern Combination Premier Division, the kickoff between Stenning and Pagham has been replaced, has been delayed due to a lino not turning up this evening. A replacement's on its way, apparently.
There you go.
The beauty of County League football, isn't it?
There we go.
criticise the officials if they're not there. That's the good thing, isn't it?
But I was disappointed that the referee that refereed yesterday's game wasn't doing his topless sunbathing like he did Selzy, a pre-season friendly. Chris, this guy, like, just get me wrong. I mean, I'm not exactly one to slag off people on looks and size, but he's got a bit of a beer belly on him after the Selsey pre-season friendly. He's lying on the pitch, like, in a sort of pose with a beer in his hand, his belly out, and it was just a sight to see. And then we see him there yesterday. Oh, Christ, let's hope he doesn't get it out now.
But yeah, a referee from Bognor for the Bognor game.
Yeah, there you go, because that's fair. Before we move on to the Northern Premier, like, I mean, a surprise for me so far, I mean, that's maybe not a surprise, Kingstonian, 4 out of 4, top of the league, doing quite well, chaps.
Yeah, it's a good start to the season for them. Kingstonian's up there, the only team with 100% record in our league. So, yeah.
You've played 4 games, you know, the Northern Premier League, they're already 6 games in, and that's going to be a problem, I think, with fatigue. You know, the piling the games in left, right, and centre.
Are you getting many injuries, Chris? Because we keep sort of getting a few injuries. They're not all the same injuries, but we have had a few tight hamstrings and whatnot.
Yeah, we've had the first hamstring yesterday. Nathan Law, his hamstring went at Scarborough. Looks like a 2 to 3 week job. So I think if you can get away after, I mean, we've played 6 games already. But by the end of September, there'll be a quarter of the programme complete.
Cool.
So I think after 6 games, to have had one hamstring, a slight groin, and a niggle, I think's quite fortunate, really. Mm. Considering. So yeah, I think we would take on that. Because no matter what, whether it's Northern Premier League, Isthmian League, Southern League, it doesn't matter. Playing Saturday and Monday in August, to me, is asking for trouble.
Yeah.
We're quite fortunate in that the weather wasn't fantastic. Otherwise, I think we probably would have seen more muscle-related injuries through pure fatigue.
I do think that the Northern Premier might be looking, but because they've aligned the Trident so far, I'm surprised that we haven't, because October, I think, looking at the fixture list, there's quite a lot of Tuesday night games, but, or is it September possibly, I think there's a lot of Tuesday night games, but in August, there hasn't been that many. I wonder if they're looking at possible sort of backup plans in case of any suspensions because of COVID.
Well, I've got the fixture list in front of me, and the Northern Premier League are Saturday, Tuesday, until the 12th of October. So Tuesday, the 12th of October, have South Shields, and every team in the league will have played Saturday, Tuesday for 2 months.
Wow.
So by notwithstanding any potential monsoons that might put the odd game off, South Shields, and every other club for that matter, will have played, by the end of October, 17 league games. By the end of October.
That is a lot, isn't it?
There's only three league games in November. Three league games in March. So what they've done is they've stocked at the beginning to try and get as many games in as possible so that if anything did happen, they could maybe go to points per game.
Which begs the question, why haven't they done it in our league? Because our first midweek game is the 14th of September.
That's bizarre. I find that difficult to fathom, really. You really want to be looking to get them in early while the weather's decent. Saturday, Tuesday is okay. Better than Saturday, Monday, of course. I'm looking at the fixture list. And like I say, November. And, I mean, granted, if you're lucky enough to get to the FA Cup first round, November is when the first round is. So the sense in it. But March, only three league games in March, I guess, so that potentially they may well fit a couple in if there'd been any kind of lockdowns in December, January.
Don't say that word.
We don't want to hear that ever again. But I guess they are playing. Trevor, you had your hand up.
Yeah, that's pretty much what the National League done for the last few years. They've crammed a third of the fixtures in by the end of October. So you've literally played Saturday, Tuesday, all the way through. But again, they haven't put that in this year. The North and South started on the 14th and didn't have a midweek game in between, and didn't have a midweek game last week. Obviously, everyone played yesterday and the entire National League. So I'm not quite sure where they're thinking is with it this year. Where the Northern Premier, the Southern League and the Isthmian are the Trident, while we've got two corners of it playing midweek games in, you know, consecutive weeks, and then we've got the other corner not, or you know, out of point rather of the triangle, not wanting to play midweek games. It's a bit bizarre. It takes away the whole Trident thing in one go, because you know, you've got, you know, one off down the pub doing something else and the other two are off playing croquet or something. It's a bit, you know, a bit blooming bizarre if you ask me.
Yeah, because like you said, the National League, they've only played three games, and some teams have only played two so far because of COVID and everything.
Yeah, blooming COVID.
Yeah, so it's just, like you say, just really, really bizarre. Sort
plus,
of.
Plus as well, with the South and the National League itself, you've got odd numbers.
Yeah.
So you know, everyone's having a week off every week, anyway. So, you know, a bit daft, really. But, you know, obviously Jack Pearce knows better than what I do, but.
Oh, he barged past me yesterday on the way, and he really annoyed me. Silly old bugger. Anyway, what, Chris? What's the Northern League like? Any surprises so far this season that you're quite shocked at? Apart from, I mean, obviously South Shields sort of starting off very well, started off better than they did last season. It wasn't unavoided, but any sort of shocks that you've had so far, or ones you're surprised of?
No surprise at the top. Buxton are level on points with Shields. They've spent major money, real tens of thousands of pounds. So there's no surprise there. It's more at the bottom, really, where there's more of a shot. I mean, Baseford have had a very, very difficult start. Morpeth Town, our local rivals, I think they've got 3 points from a possible 18.
Yeah, one win in six.
Yeah, so that's a real shock. Not to some, but to me, because they're a very workman-like side who can kind of handle the physicality of the league, although they've just had a 3G pitch late, so the first four games were away from home, because their pitch historically could never withstand a winter, so they've gone to 3G, so they played the first three or four games away from home, and it hasn't done them any favours. So so I think it's more the bottom of the league where there's more of a shock, because the regulars, Warrington have struggled a little bit, but your South Shields, your Buxtons, your Scarboroughs have all started reasonably well. FC United of Manchester, they've been hit and miss. They took a point from us 2 weeks ago. They were magnificent in the second half against us. Absolutely magnificent. Deserved the point that they got, could have won the game. And then after putting in a performance like that, they're going to go and lose their next game. And they've been very, very patchy. So I suppose that's a surprise. But in general, it's near the bottom of the table where the real shocks have occurred so far. Mm. Long way to go, of course. But you'd expect one or two who are at the bottom to be way, way more, like further up the league.
Positive positive start for you in South Shields. Do you expect that to be the standard for the season? Have you got real good hope now?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Because still got one or two irons in the fire in the transfer market. Well, it looks like they're going to wait until the transfer deadline is over tonight. And then there'll be a real raft of players available. But the good thing about Shields, Graham Fenton, the manager, will only look at players who will really buy into what they're trying to do. If you're not a team player, if you're not going to buy into the team ethic, they're not going to get you. So there's still one or two potentially to come in, but they're full-time professional now. The players are clearly fitter. Maybe that's why there hasn't been the injuries, because the players are naturally fitter and are able to withstand the physicality of playing, you know, every 3 to 4 days. So they're in a good place. 16 points from a possible 18. Considering, you know, I've played FC United, played Scarborough, away to Witten Albion, which is a bit of a bogey trip, got 3 points there. So, yeah, would have taken that.
Fantastic. That's really good to hear. Talking about not national, obviously you must be looking at the league above you, because that could be well the teams you're playing next season. Obviously, AFC filed at the top of the league with four wins out of four. That good start for them, because they were relegated, weren't they?
They were just on an upward spiral, an unstoppable upward curve. And then got to the National League and then literally just stopped in their tracks. It was really quite a shocking kind of stop.
Well, they were in the playoff final against Salford, weren't they, a couple of years ago?
Yeah, so it just kind of went from all to nothing very, very quickly. But it's good to see them back up there. Of course, that's the league we want to be in, because there are so many northeast and northern clubs who, so although it would be, If Shields got promoted, it would be to a more national level. The amount of travel would reduce because of the numbers of local derbies.
Yeah.
It would be kind of 5-6 local derbies, dependent on promotions and relegations this year. But Shields have gone full-time professional, so promotion has to happen. It's as simple as that.
As you said, a long way to go. We've got a few more Premier Non-League podcast episodes until you can have that celebratory bottle of something. But looking at National South, Trevor, I know you keep an eye on this league quite a lot. Dartford at the top, four wins out of four again. Any surprises there for you?
Billericay, yeah, at the bottom, actually. I thought players that Kevin Watson had signed during the summer, actually, persuading a few players to drop down from the National League into the South as well. I'm surprised they've not started quite so well. I'm not sure if he's got a couple of injuries or so there, so I'm a bit surprised at them. And I think the big one though is Dorking Wanderers have had a very sluggish start so far. They're a little bit behind the pace, but
surprisingly so. Yeah,
top three: Dartford, Maidstone, Ebbsfleet, all Kent sides. You know, again, they've all persuaded players as well to drop from the National League into the South as well. There's a lot of ambition, I think. You know, with a lot of clubs, not just in the National League, but, you know, right the way through, you know, through the Northern, through the Southern, through the Isthmian, right down into the County League levels of clubs just wanting to get themselves up this year and, you know, have a real good crack at it. Funny enough, Steve King was at Littlehampton and Sittingbourne last Wednesday watching the game there. I don't know what he was, you know, I heard he was down for the day with his kids. He had his kids with him, so he obviously decided to take in some football on the evening. I can't imagine he was scouting anyone, but you can never tell these days. But yeah, I'm not surprised they're up there. I mean, they're top of the league, and at the weekend, Jake Robinson, who's a fantastic goal scorer at that level, was on the bench. I don't think he even got on either. So that, you know, goes to show how strong the you know, the depth is, you know, within some of these squads.
Yeah, no, it does. It does indeed. Trev, I mean, Gareth and Pete and Chris, should we mention Barnett?
We can mention us if we want.
Not the greatest. Not the greatest of starts, has it been? What are you feeling about them so far in the National?
Well, we've got one more point than I thought we would have. I thought we'd have four out of nine, to be honest. It's a tough division. I personally think there's 14 clubs in there, including us, that think they can make the playoffs or win the title this year. And I'm not surprised to see Chesterfield and Dagenham as two of the top. I think there's a third one. I think it's Boreham Wood as well. Which they seem to have overcome their draw fatigue from last year. So I'm not surprised with those. I didn't expect us to beat Dagenham yesterday. You know, they've strengthened again this summer. They've got a settled squad. We've turned a squad over for about the third year in a row. So unsurprisingly, we haven't gelled yet. We've got a heck of a lot of injuries as well. We've got central midfielders playing centre-halves.
Yeah.
We signed our 65th goalkeeper this afternoon as well. Although this guy is the one they've wanted all summer. So hopefully he's on loan from Norwich for the season. So hopefully he's going to be the one that stops the goals going in. But it wasn't easy to start. So I wasn't expecting any points from it. Grimsby up next away isn't going to be easy. We've got Chesterfield in 2 weeks' time as well. But you've got to play everybody. And, you know, we've got Notts County out the way. We've got Dagenham out the way. Solihull are going to be up there. It ain't going to be an easy league this year. As long as we're nowhere near that bottom three, you know, that would be a far, far big improvement on what we had last year.
So how long is it till you ask for Harry's head on a chopping block?
Do you know what? I can see people asking for that across Twitter already.
Really? Mate, football fans are fickle. Like, I've seen it all over. Yeah. Like, it's kind of with social media. It's like talking, like, people want Charlton manager sacked. It's only been three games and it's not, you know, not the best of starts. We've got to give them time. I'd give them at least till Christmas.
I think as well, you've got to look at the games you play. If we'd have played, no disrespect to these sides, we played Wildstone, Weymouth and Woking, three part-time teams and lost the lot, then you'd have a few alarm bells ringing. But like I say, we're three games in. One of those sides has won three out of three who we played yesterday. And most, you know, if you look at probably the top seven, possibly Woking aside and Boreham Wood with two or three of the players they've lost, everyone else has got a settled squad, pretty similar to last year, and they've added to it. We've ripped the squad apart for the third year in a row, added some better quality than we had last year, but you've got to give it a chance. You can't just expect them to turn up, you know, in the first three games, you know, bang on with about six or seven injuries as well and pick up points. It ain't going to happen. You've got to be a bit more realistic. You know, people think we're just going to turn up and make the playoffs this year. Then, you know, really give your head a wobble and have a think about what we went through last year, where we were the year before, what we've done again this summer. You know, you just can't put building blocks at the top and start there with no foundation. So, you know, be a bit realistic. I'd love to just win every week. But, you know, we couldn't manage that last year. So ain't going to happen this year.
The UK's premier non-league podcast.
One person I'm disappointed isn't on the line tonight. Mr. Skirting Board himself is Wrexham's newest fan. Ian's not here to defend his favourite new club in the National League. Wrexham aren't exactly setting the league alight either, like everyone thought they were. One win and two draws. It's early days, but, you know, it's still, I just don't like the fact, you know, I know it's a bit of a joke, but having them two on the front of their programme yesterday, did you see? It was Wrexham's programme. It was Rob McElhenney and what's his name? And the other guy, I forgot. Ryan Reynolds, right on the front page. And it's like, I don't know. Gareth, obviously, when this all was first announced, you weren't on the podcast. What do you think about the whole Wrexham thing?
I can't get on board with it. I'm struggling to see how a team can, someone can pump so much money into it, potentially not get promoted this season. And then my worry is, where is he going to sit? Is he going to go, well, let's go again next season? Or is he going to go, nah, see ya, I'm off. I actually started a new job last week, and the guy that came down to train me for the first week is actually from Wrexham.
Yeah.
And I was chatting to him about it, and his opinion is he didn't know half the stuff that I told him about, you know, the £100 to get into the club. Like, he was shocked at that. Because yeah. The type of
people... Chris's expression says, I don't think he knew that either, did you?
Yeah. £100
to get into the bar now.
Yeah. And he said, like, and I said to him, like, and I don't mean it's any disrespect, North Wales isn't exactly known for being flush with cash, for we say.
Not at all.
So your average Joe Bloggs, who's going to pay £200 for a season ticket, for example, and then he's going to have to pay an extra £100 to go into the bar, it's just not going to happen.
It's not like a debenture thing where you pay for the privilege for the year or something.
Yeah, so if you didn't have it, mate, you wouldn't be able to go into the bar, which just seems crazy. Because what we were saying is, you think of all these oldies, all these old chaps that have been there for years and years and years. You know, you see them at Shelf Shield, you see them at Worthing, you see them at Football League games. Imagine they go into that bar in the ground, they see their friends, but now they can't because they can't afford £100. I mean, it caused quite a big debate, I think, on the last episode of the PNLP. And, you know, Ian was, he understood it. And we were sort of saying we could, I can see where you're coming from if you're at a higher level. But for example, when Charlton win the championship, they put a bar tar and no one used it. And then they got rid of it because people don't, I don't think you should. But saying that, then what's happening at Worthing is we've come back and they put about at least a quid on every pint. So it's kind of like, I would get a pint of Bud Light for £3.50, I think it was, for, and now it's £4.50. And I think, I think that's expensive. But if they'd done that, people still would have been able to go in.
Yes.
Also, for me, I think if you put a pound on a pint, people are probably still going to pay it. I know if I go to football, I'll always have at least one pint. Doesn't matter. I don't care how much it costs. I put it into what I pay. I think £4.50 for a pint is pretty average now in some pubs.
Like, yeah.
I don't think it's a massive issue putting a pound on a pint. I think the other thing for me is he's brought his Aviation Gym brand over as well, which is selling out the club shop with Aviation Gym Wrexham on it.
Oh, really?
And they branded it all with Wrexham. And it's actually, I've done a bit of looking about it when my colleague said about it. And it's actually for sale in all Morrisons in North Wales as well.
Oh, really?
But for me, it just seems like a bit of a commercial decision for him to come over and try and get his own brand a bit bigger over here and try and grow his own brand, but use Wrexham as the leverage he needs to get that.
Oh yeah, I've just seen it. It's got like a, it's like a sort of a greeny blue colour with the logo on, hasn't it?
And, but they do a home and away version. There's a red one and a green one.
And I bet they're more expensive than the normal one.
£32 a bottle, I think.
It's a nice gin, to be fair. I do like it. But is that maybe one of the reasons why he thought about investing in Wrexham? I mean, we all said it's a weird sort of club to come to, but is that a reason why? Is he doing it to get his brands out there? Because obviously Aviation's on the sleeve. They've got a big American company in TikTok on the front, which, you know, to be fair to Ian, it's a great deal for the club. And, you know, it gives them exposure via the means of TikTok, which is probably the largest social media platform at the moment out there, especially during the pandemic.
Yeah, I think for me, TikTok, I think it's also Chinese. I think TikTok, isn't it?
Is it Chinese as well?
Yeah, so you're tapping into America, UK and China, which you're going to put out there. It's probably about at least half of the world's population would have an idea of who Wrexham are.
Mm.
They're on within that platform in those countries. I can't get on board with it. Look, if it comes true and Wrexham do go up and they stay true to the fans of Wrexham, then hell, look, Who am I to stop you? Everyone has investment at some point. Everyone needs investment, but I don't think it's genuine. In all honesty,
no. It's going to be one to watch throughout the season because I think it's going to be everyone's sort of FA Cup final as well because of who owns it, how the money's been invested into the club, and I think probably a lot of people, the way football fans are, want to see them fail. So it would be it'll be quite an interesting season. For that one. But there, I think that's our little roundup on the football leagues right now. I don't know if really anything else to say, gents, is there really?
I think one thing I would want to go on about what we just said there about everybody will want to go to Wrexham and class it as their cup final, like a giant killinger. It's exactly what it's like at South Shields, you know, that's what happened last season and the season before. Now that South Shields are professional in every way, they're full-time. It's a scalp. It's a scalp. So Wrexham, I can only see it ending one way. And I don't think it's good. On the whole, if you look at American investment in football or soccer, as they call it, apart from maybe Liverpool, I can't think of anywhere else where American, because I look at Sunderland, my club, you know, didn't go well. Aston Villa didn't go well. Arsenal, it's not going well. it becomes almost like a want to create franchises in things that can never be franchised.
Yeah. I think that's the model in America that I know some people don't understand from going there for work. A lot of people can't believe there's relegation and promotion because they don't see that. And I think that's so sad because that's a massive part of the game. You know, I know it's all about money over there, but I mean, there's nothing to play for. There's only going to be a handful of teams each year that are going to be charging for the top. You know, having relegation, that's what will make an American football soccer league real true soccer league. They should have MLS 2 and 3. I think it'd be so much better.
But if you look at it, say the NFL... And things like that, the ticket prices are so astronomically high.
True.
That most people will get to one game a season.
Yeah.
Or two at the most. So when they go, they make it almost like a holiday. So they will have their barbecues in the car parks and everything. They'll spend a fortune on merchandise because it's a one-off. It's a once-a-year holiday, twice maybe.
That depends who you support, Chris. Someone like the Cowboys, who do charge higher prices, yeah, you go somewhere else, though, maybe somewhere like a Cincinnati and that, now you'll get a season ticket at a much cheaper price.
Yeah.
Cowboys are always going to be extortionate, though, the biggest billionaire franchise in the world.
Absolutely. And I look at things, you know, like New York, if you look at Tampa, it's not cheap at Tampa.
No, especially since we won the Super Bowl, because I was hopefully going on holiday there, and the tickets to see versus the Bears was well over $200.
Yeah. So my worry is for Wrexham. That it'll just not work. You can't. If you look at the racecourse ground, the stadium, it's not a stadium where you want to be paying £100 for the privilege of paying another £4.55 for a pint. It's not.
So, I think they also didn't. They had to stop the sale of season tickets as well, didn't they? Because they're oversubscribed.
Yeah.
Wow.
From my understanding, my colleague is like they've also got one whole stand shut as well.
That'll be the Johnny Come Latelys, won't it? Like I bet some of them have never been before. They think they're going to see some holiday. How long is it going to be though till they change the logo next season? To some sort of Americanized.
Maybe.
Well, it's the race course ground, whatever horse or something, Wrexham. You can see it now, some fast sort of cartoonized horse. But no, it's definitely going to be one to watch, I think. I wish he was here to be on the line, but not to do him disservice. But Ian seems to be the only one that has positivities about it. But I think each one of us here, all in sort of agreement, and can say that I think it's. I hope it doesn't, but if they don't get what they want, this could go south. They give it 1, 2, 3 seasons. They're not in in the sort of EFL and 2, 3 seasons. I think we're going to see some problems there, and that will be really sad to see.
It will, because you'll have players who know they're going to get a payday there, aren't they?
Mm.
You know you're going to command a fee. You're going to get paid regardless when you sign your contract. And even if you don't give it 100%, even if you play at 80%, you're going to get paid.
Well, you look at those ones that have gone from League One all the way down to National because of money.
Mm.
Yeah. They've just signed someone from Leeds as well this afternoon, I think.
Oh, really?
Under 23s, yeah.
Trev?
There's a bigger problem than that, though. Salary cap comes in next year in the National League. That'd be screwed if they don't.
But also, if they get promoted to the EFL as well, they're going to have a massive... Oh, I know the salary cap's been gone.
Yeah, salary cap's been lifted, yeah. That's why they're desperate to get out this year, and that's why they spend all the money they have. So if they don't get out...
That'd be quite funny to see, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that could be the end of the
project. What is the salary cap going to be? Is it being agreed yet?
Haven't a clue, but I mean, yeah, it's going to be stringent because the clubs voted on it themselves. The National League board didn't want it, but the clubs decided that's what they wanted to try and bring a bit of parity. But you really want, if you look at it, you want the likes of Notts County and Wrexham to go up this year out of the division, so it then helps everyone else out next year. because you've then got clubs, you know, but you've then got Chesterfield are still going to have a reasonable size cap as well compared to everyone else. But, you know, only two are going up.
There we go. Talking about, you know, National League, and we've mentioned it on our little WhatsApp group, but I think we can, attendances in non-league have been astronomical the last couple of weekends. I mean, South Shields leading the way up north. I mean, we got 2,101 at Worthing versus Bognor yesterday, breaking all records, and Pete lost out to the manager a beer again, but he wasn't in the right mood for one yesterday, was he, Pete?
he wasn't.
No. Pete went and coaxed him out of his office, and he kind of said goodbye and then sort of went home after that. But it's astronomical. Chris, what was the biggest you've had so far?
2,300, I think, against FC United on a Tuesday night.
That's mental, isn't it?
And that night, in South Tyneside, which is our borough, there were other games going on. And if you add the other games, there were more than 3,000 people at non-league football that night in South Tyneside, which is incredible. And then on Saturday, when we played Grantham, who were managed by Carlton Palmer, no less.
Pete's favourite.
1,700. So when you consider Sunderland were at home, Newcastle were at home, Middlesbrough were at home, 1,700 on a summer bank holiday as well, and people are aware.
Yeah,
pretty good. You know, it's lovely to see across the board. Some of the numbers I've seen in non-league throughout the country have been really refreshing and really encouraging, and long may that continue for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking through football web pages right now. And over this past weekend, Chesterfield 5,356 versus Wealdstone, Grimsby 5,034, Notts County 6,931, Southend 5,678, Woking 3,078, Yeovil 2,024. Monday we had a little bit less, but Wrexham, the favourite, 5,454. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Torquay 2,500. Aldershot 2,000. So, you know, are people getting the bug, do you think? Do you think people are getting fed up, or do you think it's just a coincidence because there hasn't been much football, people trying to fit as much in as possible?
I think a bit of both. I think everyone's, after the last 2 years when we haven't completed two seasons, everyone's desperate to get back. But it's not just about the football on the pitch. It's about meeting up with your mates and other people. Yeah, and other people that you know through football that you've not seen in months. I mean, you know, at the game yesterday, the amount of people I saw that are Bognor based that I've not seen in months because there's been no games to go to, and that was just, it was mad. It was like literally every 10 or 20 people that walked past, I knew someone in that group. It was, you know, mental in a way, but it's everywhere. It's not just South Shields. It's not just...
No. Well, Lewis had over 1,000 fans to their Horsham match, a board draw. In our league, you had Folkestone had 839, which is a lot for down that part of the country. Worthing have both home games. Well, obviously, this one was just over 2,000. Last week was 1,140. It's amazing to see, like, just some of these amount of people for these levels, because this is going to do so well for the money and the finances of the clubs.
Well, when you go down a bit.
I was going to say, in the old days when it was the JM Vauxhall Conference in the late 80s, early 90s, if you got a crowd of over 1,000, you were doing well. You know, most games, you're looking between 400 and 800 in the conference. So to see these numbers is so, so refreshing and so encouraging. And I do think it's a bit of everything. I think Trevor's right. I think it's a bit of everything, a bit of people getting a little bit tired of the Premier League and the EFL, and I think people are just wanting to see other people again, just want to be somewhere with people again. So it is great. It's great to see everybody again. Great to see you guys as well.
Oh, and you, mate. We'll have to cut, as we say, hopefully now we can actually organise some trip up to see South Shields and do the favour down here at Worthing one weekend or something like that.
I'm coming down to Southampton on Saturday. I'm running a marathon on Sunday.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember you said that. So he's going to be knackered. He won't be seeing any football this coming week. And he's going to be carting him off up on the train. But, you know, even just looking at that, obviously ones like FC United and Manchester get quite a lot of fans for obvious reasons, because they were originally set up from people being annoyed at the Glazers, weren't they?
The Glazer. I actually thought they would get more fans after what happened with the ill-fated Super League.
Yeah, Super League. Oh, I forgot about that. How funny is that? Yeah. Weird.
Yeah. But also, I mean, clubs like Scarborough, you know, yesterday, yes, it was South Shields, but Scarborough are getting regularly getting over 1,000. It's just York City getting good numbers everywhere. Even if you look at the Northern League, which is the feeder league for the Northern Premier League around our way, crowds are up there. New clubs who have gone into Division 2 of the Northern League, who were in like We Are Side leagues and things like that, getting over 200, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Do you find when Sunderland fans start getting annoyed at the owner, which is inevitable throughout the season, because they seem to, the last few seasons we've been in the same leagues, they always end up doing well at the moment, the top of the League One. Yeah. But do you find when they start getting annoyed, maybe past Christmas, they come and start filtering into South Shields?
A few. Yeah. But the way things are, you're going to find games where Newcastle will be... So normally, Sunderland and Newcastle don't play at home on the same day because it's the same policemen that are needed to cover the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it was unusual for them both to be at home. But normally you've got one of them. So you might get a game where Sunderland are away, so you'll get a few come along to watch. Then your next week you might have Newcastle away, so you might get a few there. But generally there's a core base now of a good 15, 16, 1700, where that's what Shields are going to get. And the key is to just keep building on that. And the more the youngsters, and I think this can go to Worthing, all the clubs. If you've got youngsters who are part of club academies and they're getting their buzz of football on a Saturday afternoon at these non-league grounds.
Yeah.
That is how they're being brought up. They're being brought up in these stadiums, these non-league grounds. And hopefully that will mean that is who they follow as they become teenagers, young adults. It's a learning curve and it's about educating children. And I think the whole offer of non-league football, the offer of a day of entertainment, not just 90 minutes at 3 o'clock, but the whole day is a really good offer at the moment, pound for pound. And that has to continue.
Trevor, you had your hand up there.
I was just going to say, going back to the crowd thing, is, you know, filters all the way down. The Little Hampton stepped 5 last week in the FA Cup, 220 on a midweek on a Wednesday. Yesterday, Little Hampton United had 91 at step 7, their best ever attendance. And where I was at Worthing Town, which is the same division, same level as well, didn't charge anyone to get in to watch theirs, but there must have been at least 60 or 70 people. I don't know, just maybe a few extra because it was bank holiday. I don't quite know, so I'm not sure how well attended, you know, they are. But it just seems to be absolutely everywhere, which is fantastic. And you just hope that when the weather gets a bit colder, they're still averaging out at a decent level. I don't expect them to still be fantastic because people will go, or, you know, it's a bit chilly to be standing out watching that.
Yeah.
But you just hope they still stay at a good rate all the way through.
I know. I know. Yesterday, Pete and I were just from Pete's commentary booth at Woodside. It was just looking down and seeing all the fans, which is something unreal. Like, we haven't seen like numbers like that for a long time. And, you know, being able to have sort of almost like a bird's eye view, seeing it from the stand and seeing all the singing going on and the atmosphere. It was just great to see. I mean, if Worthing can take around the 1,000 mark every week, I reckon naturally when we play Horsham, we'll be at about 1,500 for the Horsham game. When we go away to Bognor, they'll probably be around those figures again because we take more than them. Lewis as well at home will probably take that. But, you know, if we can sort of average around 1,000 for the season, I think the club and me as a fan would be very happy.
Absolutely. Pete's very quiet tonight.
He is. And he's drinking as well.
I'm here. Just listening.
He's mellow after yesterday. He can't seem to get his words out now.
Melancholy.
Well, Pete's had some good news because he's now the official match day interviewer of the manager. So if you watch our Worthing's YouTube channel, you'll hear his dulcet tones on the ones and twos after the game.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I wasn't looking forward to yesterday's interview, I can tell you.
It wasn't too bad. I think you were more unhappy about doing the one when we lost to Folkestone.
Yeah, it wasn't great. But yeah, obviously Adam really takes the defeats to heart, so Yeah,
I think all the club do. I mean, we saw in the bar some members of staff, which we won't name, were pretty miserable after the game. Wouldn't give you 2 minutes, would they? Like, but they're sitting there, look, with a face like a slap backside, and you know, it's still, it hurts us all. It does hurt us all.
Which is good. It's good.
I'd rather that than them being buzzing and jumping around. Mm. But you know, you could see just yesterday, and I'm sure it's the same at South Shields. They walked through the bar, and none of them hung around apart from one or two because they had family members there. And it's horrible to see when they have a defeat. But we move on. We move on, and we've got some good, exciting games ahead, and we can get revenge on Boxing Day, can't we, Pete?
I'm sure we will.
Yeah, if they play like that, they will. But chaps, is there much else to sort of discuss? We've gone through sort of the figures. Any sort of stories you've read out in the non-league paper?
Well, I've been looking at Robbie Savage broke up a fight at Macclesfield, sold out game versus Congleton.
What was the fights about? I read about these fights. What were they? Was it just fans being
there? I don't know what it's about. Well, basically, I've seen the video, and to be honest, there's people just punching each other. And all the stewards are just at the front, just standing there watching them. And you're like, your whole job is to get in there and you know, and stop it.
You had one job.
One job. So
it might be a sort of case of it's like, I know we see it at Worthing, like they're all volunteers and they only do it for volunteer and they don't really want to get involved, do they? It could be the same sort of thing at that level.
I'm not actually sure they're allowed to get involved. At times,
what if they're volunteers? Or
I'm not sure. It's something. I'm just thinking of other little incidents at grounds around our way. It's very rare. Do you see stewards step in? Very rare. So might be something in the rules. I don't know.
They're quite happy to get involved if you stand up and not sit down, though, don't they?
Job's worse.
Yeah. But I'm not sure. I might be wrong, but I've just got this feeling there's some kind of rule somewhere where stewards really shouldn't be getting involved in fights.
No, BP. I mean, to be fair, if I was a volunteer and I had a big beefy lad trying to like square up to me, I would probably be running away like with my tail between my legs as well. To be fair.
I'm not getting a black eye for 30 quid.
No, exactly. But Pete, anything else you've noticed? Any sort of your shout outs that you've picked up today?
Also saw, because I'm the bearer of good news, as you know, all the time. A Darlington fan went on a pitch of their game against Curzon Ashton after they scored and kicked their keeper. It's like, what's going on?
How random. Very random.
Very, very strange. Very strange.
So what have we all got planned for the next couple of weeks? Gareth, or are you going to get to any games in the next few weeks?
Probably at the weekend, I'll try and get to something. I'm not 100% sure whether I'll get to anything midweek this week, but I'll try and get something at the weekend.
You get to go up north with your new job, don't you, quite a bit?
I travelled around the whole of London and the South East. So
was that trip up north nothing to do with the job then, was it?
I had a meeting in Leeds, and I was up in York at the weekend for a wedding. But yeah, it's going to be mostly sort of London and South East. So I'm going to try and time them on a Tuesday night, overnight somewhere like Dover, Canterbury, Dartford. And then I've got a few in North London as well, so I'll try and get some overnights on a Tuesday over in those sort of locations.
Yeah, no, you might be able to get some Worthing away games at Potter's Bar or like up in Essex at those sorts.
Yeah.
That would be quite good. Yeah, I know obviously no Pete will be where you're going, Pete, won't you?
Where am I going?
Well, some Worthing game, home and
away.
Yeah,
home and away, as I always do. There was another shout I was gonna do.
Oh, okay.
Did you cutting me off again?
Well, maybe if you spoke a bit quicker and didn't sit there having a fag and having a beer, we might not have to.
Stoke Gabriel, worst team in England, South West Peninsula Premier East Division. They actually finally picked up a win after their 33rd attempt.
Wow.
So congratulations. Because last year when the pandemic hit, they had 0 points from 18 games and conceded 207 goals.
Jesus.
And scored 7.
So, you know, that was a banker, wouldn't you? That team that they beat must have been fuming after.
It's Torbay Police, apparently.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Oh, no, they've actually joined Alliance's Torbay, please, sorry, and Stoke Gabriel. But, yeah, they've got the first win anyway, so a huge congratulations to them.
Yeah, no, well done. Well done, guys. Trevor, you what games have you got your eyes on in the South?
Littlehampton and East Preston on Wednesday night, as we're recording on Tuesday. And hopefully Sunday, Littlehampton's FA Cup tie against Whitehawk.
Very good. Yeah, you've got the FA Cup this weekend. Chris, have you got the FA Cup coming up?
Yes, away to Shildon, who are near neighbours, really. It's a half an hour drive away. So they play in Northern Premier League Division North, so one league below.
Okay.
So Shildon, it'll be a cracking afternoon. I can't make it, of course, because I'm travelling down to your neck of the woods. But that'll be a cracker. And then next Tuesday, back in league action, home to Ashton United. And I'm on the PA system. Our normal PA guy is on holiday, so I'm on the mic.
Very good.
Looking forward to that.
Pete, have you got any top tips as your Tannoy man at Worthing sometimes? Make sure you sound more excited than Pete when you're on the mic. He sounds like that. Are we laughing? So he sounds like that. Remember the guy at Liverpool? He's like, you know, they've just won the Premier League. Like, and Robbie Fowler's just scored the winner. So he's like, yeah, goal for Liverpool, Robbie Fowler. It's a bit like Pete.
I'm not that miserable when I do the Tannoy. And I only do the Tannoy for the women's games anyway. I don't do it for the men's.
Yeah.
The last time I did it was against FC United, the last game before all that dreadful L word. And
don't repeat habits, mate, please.
Two seasons ago, and I got a bit overexcited. so I'll have to keep myself in check next week.
Are you still doing the commentary on match days at the moment, or has that sort of been suspended now that people are back?
And there's no streaming. So and we're probably going to do some away game commentaries for radio. But at the minute, because of cricket, of course, it's difficult. Plus, because of the way it is, people can go to these games, and most clubs actually provide commentary service. So I don't think there's been a game yet where there hasn't been at least something for fans to listen to. So we'll just pick and choose as we think. So yes, we will be doing some commentaries, but there's no live streaming in the offing because there's no restrictions. Yeah.
No, exactly. No, we've been Pete does it sort of every week still, and he's got his own little commentary booth now built for him at Woodside, which is nice. Going to get a sign all made up for him. He feels Pete's very special. Pete's pulpit.
It made a world of difference yesterday, didn't it?
It did. Yeah, it was before we.
Did you have your slippers on, Pete?
Oh, too cool for that. It was before we had to balance it on this really annoying folding chair, and you could never see the comments on the app and everything like that from fans. So it's quite good. And it looks very professional. Makes Bodner make Bodner very jealous, I think, didn't it, Pete?
I think they've actually got their own position, to be honest, there.
Yeah, but he only does it from his phone. So, you know, he's not got the setup that you have. He hasn't got the music and the jingles, has he?
That's very true.
So there we go. But chaps, I think that's about time to wrap up for this edition of the Premier Non-League podcast. It's been a pleasure having you back on the line. Maybe we'll get a full house next time, a couple of weeks' time. But we'll wait and see if Ian's finished fitting his skirting boards then. If anyone has got anything else to add, Gareth? No? Pete?
Yeah. You could mention that we need people's votes, couldn't you? I know it's a different podcast, but all
very
the help
true.
We can get.
Very true. So Pete and I, it's non-league related, but Pete and I have been nominated for the Football Content Awards to be the best non-league podcast, which is quite an achievement because it's not just votes. Judges have listened to it. So we've done something right and we're in the final category for non-league. So if anyone could place a vote, that'd be very nice. It's footballcontentawards.com/voting. Select the non-league category and then the podcast category and click on Rebel Yell, which is the official Worthing podcast. Well, it's unofficial Worthing podcast. It's done by the Fan Association, but anything to get us there. We can't afford a ticket, so if anyone's listening to this and wants to sponsor it, but we can. The tickets are ridiculous. 60 quid just to stand plus booking fees. It's like, no, I'm all right, thanks. Yeah, you would have thought that we would have maybe been invited, but you know, it's we put our name forward in the hat, and you know, it's a sort of first full season with doing it this year, and we thought, you know, if we get anything, even the recognition, even being shouted out on their socials, it's just a nice little thing. So if anyone can vote,
you never know, might get two nominations next year for both podcasts.
Yeah, well, we need the listeners on this, so we got that, and next year Trevor will get his nomination for non-league content writer or something as well. But yeah, please do go footballcontentawards.com/voting, find the non-league category, and then select Rebel Yell. That would just be amazing. And you never know, me and Pete might have a trophy or something to show off in a couple of weeks' time. But if not, we're up against some stiff competition. But we hope to get the Premier Non-League podcast into that category next year as well. And then Pete would have a head and heart thing, wouldn't we, really?
Yeah. The only other thing we need as well, we still need someone to cover the this Southern League Premier Central for us.
100%.
We need a correspondent still.
Well,
because
Pete went up and couldn't find anyone.
Elf Church. Yeah, because the only team I know about is my second non-league team, which is Elf Church. But you know, I don't know enough about the other teams in that league.
Guys, find someone on your travels.
Yeah,
we'll have to try. I thought if we keep shouting it out, we might get an email one day saying we'll do it.
Put it on our socials as well, and we'll see what they say. Yeah. See if we can get anyone involved. But yeah, it would be good to have someone to do cover the central leagues, and then maybe we might eventually branch out into Scotland and Wales or something like that. You never know. It could be Britain's premier non-league podcast to see what their non-leagues are like. But once again, chaps, thank you very much. Really nice to see all your faces again. Enjoy the next couple of weeks. Stay safe, and be seeing you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.